Thanks, Mike. Hey, everybody. Man, God is doing some great things, isn't he? He really is doing great things. And he's doing great things in this church as well. And I'm so excited to see what God is doing. He's continuing to transform lives. And I'm so grateful for that because I see where God has taken me from and how he's transformed me to where I am today. And I'm like, man, I wouldn't take anything else. I wouldn't trade the transformation, that transformative work that God did in my life for anything else. You know? I truly wouldn't, because in as a believer, as a follower of Christ, we can experience true joy and true peace and true love, and there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. So I'm excited because we're starting a new series this week. A 5-week series. And so My premise for this series is a lot of times as the church, we focus a lot on God, right? Understandably so. We focus a lot about on God and we focus on him as God the Father, right? He's our daddy. He's our protector. He is our provider. He is our shield, right? He is all those things. He's our creator. And then a lot of focus goes on to the Son, Jesus. He's our Redeemer, right? It was his sacrifice. He sacrificed everything for the penalty of our sins. And so there's a lot of focus, and just as people, and as the church, the body of Christ, I'm throwing us all in there, is where we spend a lot of time focusing on God, a lot of time focusing on Jesus. But what about the other guy? What about the other guy? And that's actually the title of this entire series, The Other Guy. And the other guy is the Holy Spirit. He's the Holy Spirit. Some theologians have called the Holy Spirit the forgotten God, the one that people have forgotten about. And really, all throughout the history of the church, and for a lot of us, the church, the Holy Spirit has often played the role of the third wheel of the Trinity. Right? We don't always know what to do with the Holy Spirit. I don't know really how to handle the Holy Spirit. I don't understand truly how he fits into the picture. And so we tend to have this awkward relationship with the Holy Spirit. And he's like, I don't really know what to do with you. I don't know you that well, Holy Spirit. You're a little bit unpredictable. You know, I appreciate your involvement in the Godhead and everything like that, but I just don't get you. You know, you're a little bit unpredictable. I don't fully understand you. And so we tend to have this awkward relationship at times with the Holy Spirit, where he's just that third wheel. He plays the role of a third wheel in the Trinity. Well, the purpose of this entire series is to show and to unveil just how essential the Holy Spirit is to the Godhead. That you cannot have God, the Father, you cannot have the Son without the Holy Spirit. All three of them are just as essential to each other. You cannot have one without the other. Isn't that a song? You can't have one without the... That's not the tune. But you know what I'm talking about. They are all three of them, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bring the complete package of the Godhead. And so we're going to spend the next 5 weeks looking at this. And so we don't always understand how the Holy Spirit fits into this picture, and we have this awkward relationship with him. It's like, I know you're a part of the Godhead, and I know that you're God's Spirit, but it's like, I don't know. You know, there's a little bit of just like, I don't know about him, you know? And so just listen for a second at the language of scholars when they refer to the Holy Spirit and the importance of his role in the Trinity. A man by the name of Nicholas Berdyaev once suggested that the Holy Spirit is the last unexplored theological frontier. Another scholar once implored the church that we need to reacquaint ourselves with this forgotten God. Another scholar once sarcastically called the Spirit whom nobody writes about. Emil Brunner once called the Holy Spirit, the stepchild of theology, because he rarely fits into our logical, our rational thinking, and he's kind of continuously getting in the way of everything. And then George Sirks famously called the Holy Spirit, the Cinderella of theology. Well, while the Father and the Son are at the ball getting all the attention and having all the fun, the Holy Spirit's back at the house mopping up the floor. And if we're all honest, we don't completely understand all that He does. All that He does. We don't understand His role completely or the way He is. And our relationship with Him is a little awkward. And there's a reason for the reason why. We're going to share why we don't understand Him all of His fullness. And so when we have that awkward relationship with Him, He tends to become an afterthought. It's like the Father and then the Son and that other guy. He's really important. I love Him and all. He's a part of this picture. But I don't get Him very well. and so we have this awkward relationship with Him. And so the question then comes to mind, well, why is that? Why is there such a disconnect when it comes to the Holy Spirit? Why is it so easy to ignore the things that we understand the least? Well, it's because we understand them the least. And there's a reason why we understand them the least that I'm going to touch on in just a few moments. You see, when something or someone cannot be put into a structured box, right? Into where I can see it all, it's completely contained, it fits into these parameters. If something or someone does not fit into this box, then our first inclination is kind of to put them to the back burner. I can't fully grasp that, so it's not going to be as important to me. And so this series aims to unveil just how important the Holy Spirit is to the church. And we're going to look at the relationship between the church and the Holy Spirit and how it is impossible to separate the Holy Spirit from the church and where we are today. And so let's look for a moment at the reasons as to why we might ignore the Holy Spirit. Reasons why we might ignore the Holy Spirit. The first reason is because we are taught to think concretely and to make conclusions. We're taught to think and have a concrete thinking to make conclusions based on, even if it's based on limited knowledge. Right? Except if you go to university and you study in university, there is a certain way that in your field of study that they say this is how it's done, except for philosophy class. But you don't see too many people flocking to that as a career choice. Why is that? Why are people not flocking to philosophy? I took philosophy in my undergrad as an elective, and for 4 months, no lie, this is my experience in philosophy class. It was an argument that started on day one that just continued to be an continuous argument that never found an end for 4 months, and we left there with no conclusion. There was no end, right? And it's not exactly a profession that people are flocking to, partly because it doesn't fit into our mold. Into our mold, we are taught to think concretely. We don't really know. There's nothing to work with there in philosophy. It's changing all the time. So there's no we can't sit it still and say, okay, this is how I can work with it now. It's changing all the time. And the same is true with the Holy Spirit. He's changing all the time, creating new. And we can't wrap our heads around Him and put Him in this box. And so we tend to just kind of put Him to the side. It seems as though in our Western culture, there's no room for mystery. There's no room for mystery and there's no room for uncertainty in life. But what we're going to find in the next couple of weeks is that the Holy Spirit is the revealer of mystery. He is the one that brings mystery to our knowledge and to our understanding. And so in our Western culture, as you do study, it's not so much on the other side, but our Western philosophy is that we are taught to think concretely. And there's no room for mystery. There's got to be something to work with, something to move with. And so that same mindset naturally might flow into our churches. The second reason is kind of similar. A reason why we might ignore the Holy Spirit is because of our lack of ability to grasp a hold of Him or to control Him. Right? It's unsettling to think that we are to have a relationship with somebody that is so unpredictable. I mean, seriously, it is unsettling to think that at any time, any moment, He could change the situation and change the form and the viewpoint. What am I looking for? the environment. There's a word I'm looking for. It's not coming to me. I mean, just look at how the Holy Spirit is presented in the Bible. I mean, in Genesis and Psalms, we see the Holy Spirit as the breath that animates life. He's a breath that animates life. In Judges and in John and Acts, he's referred to as this healing wind. In John 4 and 7, the Holy Spirit is seen as living water. And whoever, wherever he's accepted, he actually brings life. And in Matthew and Acts, he's seen as fire. And in Genesis and Matthew and John, he's seen as a dove. All right, so now imagine for a moment your ability to grasp a hold of your breath. Go ahead, try it. Somebody, am I the only one who's going to look silly? Try to grasp a hold of breath. Ooh, I need a mint, dude. Right? You can't grab a hold of breath. You can't. He's also seen as water. Try to grab water. You can't grab it, right? It's just going to find a path. Sorry, excuse me. You know what I mean? We're not meant to fully grasp him right now, I don't think, you know? We're not meant to fully comprehend him in all of his fullness. His whole persona is that he cannot be contained. Try to contain a fire in your hand or to mold or to form water in your hands or wind. It's impossible. You can't do it. And so he cannot be formed by us. We cannot shape him and we cannot put him into a mold. And so that makes us uncomfortable. It's like, I can't mold him. I can't put him into a shape that I can see him on all of his fullness. And so I'm not going to run with him. And since I can't see him and mold him into what exactly I think he should look like, then I'm going to have this awkward relationship with him. And I might distance myself from him in a little bit. And the reason why we cannot form him is because he is the one that does the forming of us. The reason why we cannot form the Holy Spirit into our concrete thinking and mold him and to shape him into a box, and the reason why we can't wrap our heads around him is because he's the one forming our minds. He's the one forming us and transforming us into the likeness of Christ. He is the former. And so he is forming us, so therefore we cannot form him. Are you with me? More on that to come in the next few weeks. And the final reason that I have written down here of a reason why it might be so easy to ignore the Holy Spirit is found in the fact that the Spirit, one of the primary tasks of the Holy Spirit is to point away from himself. One of the primary points and tasks of the Holy Spirit is to point always to the Father and always to the Son and to give all the glory to them. Somebody wrote about it like the Holy Spirit is a floodlight that stands behind you and shines behind you and gives all the glory to the Father and the Son. In John chapter 15, Jesus says that this Spirit of truth, which goes out from the Father, right, the Holy Spirit who goes out from the Father, will testify about me. He goes on to say that when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth. And he will not speak on his own, but he will speak only what he hears. And he brings glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. The Holy Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. You see, the Holy Spirit is not seeking recognition or glory, but he's constantly pointing to the Father, and he's constantly pointing to the Son, and say, look at them, look at them, look how awesome, look how awesome, look how awesome, give them the glory, give them the praise. In all that the Holy Spirit does, he doesn't tell us about himself. He doesn't tell us about himself, but we find out that he comes to glorify Jesus, helping us to see Jesus more. He comes to help us understand Jesus better, to respond to Jesus more obediently, to love Jesus more deeply. His very nature is selfless. Why is that? Because he is the Spirit of God. The very nature of God is selfless. Just look at how God's rescued this world and brought us to salvation. He gave Himself up for the benefit of you and I, His creation. He created us. We were in trouble. And He says, I'm coming to your rescue. I'm giving everything I've got, and I'm going to bring you back to myself. The very nature of God is selfless. And we see that in human form when Jesus comes to this earth and He sacrifices His life for you and I. Completely, selflessly expresses the love of the Father by giving up everything for the benefit of you and I. The very nature of the Godhead is selfless. And so naturally the Holy Spirit Himself is selfless. And so all of these reasons, they contribute to this disconnect that we have as the church sometimes when it comes to our relationship with the Spirit of God. But it is impossible to separate the Holy Spirit from the church. It is impossible. You see, the Holy Spirit is essential to the church simply because He is the life of the church. The Holy Spirit is the life of the church. And over the next few weeks, we're going to look at this relationship between the Holy Spirit and the church. But did you know that He is responsible for you being a child of God? He is responsible for bringing you into the family of God. Titus 3:5 tells us that we are saved through the washing and the rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. In Romans 8, if you could turn with me there, I'm going to put it up top as well. In Romans chapter 8, Paul refers to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of life. And in verse 9, I'm going to read in verse 9. And I'm going to read through verses 12. It says this: And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin. Yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Christ from the dead, the Holy Spirit, and if the same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. The Holy Spirit is the life giver. That's why it's impossible to separate Him and to kind of disconnect Him from the church, because He is the one that breathed life into you. He is the one that gave you your spiritual rebirth as well. He is the one that provides life. The same Spirit, the Spirit of God that raised Christ from the dead, now comes and lives in you, dwells, resides. You have the Spirit of God living inside of you. And at that moment of your faith, when you believed that Christ died on the cross for you, His Spirit then comes and lives and dwells and resides in you. And for the first time ever, your spirit becomes alive. Alive. Paul goes on in verse 14 and he says, For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And so we see here that the Holy Spirit plays an active role in the elementary part of our salvation. He's the life giver. He was there. He's the one that places you into the body of Christ, because His Spirit comes and dwells in you. It goes on to say that He's the one that testifies that we are sons and daughters of the King. He is the power behind the rebirth of every Christian. If you want to turn to John chapter 3, in John chapter 3, verses 5 through 8, Jesus says this. Jesus explains to us how the Holy Spirit plays an essential role in our life. He says, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water, meaning a fleshly birth, right? Coming from our parent, our mother. Unless he is born of both water and of the Spirit. So he's saying that there needs to be a spiritual rebirth, a birthing of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, gives birth to the Spirit, your Spirit. And so you should not be surprised at my saying, he says, that you must be born again. Because Spirit gives birth to Spirit. And I love this because Jesus explains here in verse 8 that how we cannot control the work of the Holy Spirit. And that his work in a way is we cannot predict him, and that he is kind of unpredictable. And it's hard to understand. In verse 8 he says, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. And so just as you did not control your physical birth, you don't control your spiritual birth. It is a gift from God. And when the Holy Spirit comes in there, life ignites in you for the very first time. No longer are we zombies walking around spiritually dead, physically alive, but spiritually dead. But when the Holy Spirit comes in at that very moment, your spirit becomes alive for the very, very first time. The Holy Spirit is the life giver. He places us into the church, and therefore it is impossible to separate the Holy Spirit from the church. This new life is only a gift available through the Holy Spirit. You see, this is why we cannot separate the Holy Spirit from the church, because he's the one who brings you into God's family. He is the one that makes you a part of the church. He is the one that gave you this new life in Christ. He is the one that raised Christ from the dead. He is the one that enables you to have this new life that is full of joy and peace of God. And he plays just as an important role as the Father and the Son. All three are just as important as the other. We cannot have one without the other. All three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, played an essential role in your salvation. The Father took action on his love towards creation. The Son was his love in the flesh that took the punishment of mankind on himself. The Holy Spirit was the one who raised Christ from the dead. It was that resurrection that changed everything. And so he too is the one who brought life to your mortal bodies. And now you get to experience life forever with all three. With all three. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We cannot leave the Holy Spirit out because it is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit together that provide the complete package. They make up God. You cannot have one without the other. Although they are all distinct in their nature and they each have distinct characteristics, they cannot be who they are without the other. All three together are the complete package. If you remember Jesus when he was being baptized, we see the importance of all three being involved in that experience. Right? It was the presence of the Son who was getting baptized, the Father who was doing the speaking, and the descending of the Spirit like a dove that made that experience complete. So how do we take this message and somehow apply it to our everyday lives? How do we take from what this changes? How does this change how I live today? How does this change how I live today? It is knowing that you were made to experience God completely in all of his fullness. You were made to experience God completely in all of his fullness. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit complete the Godhead. Each one of them play an essential role in this. And each one of them play an essential role in your everyday life. The complete Godhead equips us to be who God wants us to be. They all work together in unity. They all work together in unity. Liz, are you able to play that song? Is that okay? As we finish up? Thanks. Thanks. You can come on forward. I asked my wife to just finish up with this song. It's Holy Spirit, You're Welcome Here. And we've sung this song a whole bunch of times. And when I sing this song, I kind of selfishly make it internally. When we say, Holy Spirit, come fill this place, we also mean that in the church body context as well. But when we sing that, I sing it personally. God, Holy Spirit, come and fill me. Come and fill this place. come and fill this atmosphere. Because as we're going to see in the weeks to come, that not only is the Holy Spirit the giver of life, but He is the sustainer of life. Next week we're going to see that the Holy Spirit is actually gives personalized care to the church. Personalized care to the church. In two more weeks we're going to see that the Holy Spirit is the revealer of all the mysteries of God. And in week five, this thing is going to crescendo. I'm really excited about week five. It's going to crescendo because what we're going to see is that it's the Holy Spirit and the church partnering together, extending an invitation to the world to say, come and check out Jesus. Come and see how awesome He is. It's going to be great. So for the application of this week, for today, how can you take what today, this message, how can today's message change the way you live today? Spend time on your own, getting to know the Holy Spirit a little more. Get close to Him, and you will find just how close He already is to you. There is so much that the Holy Spirit does, and we're just getting started. We're just getting started. Today we saw that the Holy Spirit is the giver of life, that He gave life to the church. And He does not just leave us here. He does not just place us into the family and leave us there to figure it out. But He is walking each and every step with us, each and every day, as we surrender our lives to Christ. He is the one that leads us, guides us, directs us on how to be the people that God wants us to be. So that is the application. Spend time this week getting to know the Holy Spirit for yourself. Just you and the Holy Spirit. Open up the Word of God. He wrote this. So allow His words to just pour in you. Get close to Him and you'll find just how close He is to you. Amen? Thanks, Liz. Thanks, Mike.